Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. We started our journey on New Year's Eve by God telling us that this is the year that we will be unshakable. Look at somebody and say, unshakable. And God is making us an unshakable people. We look at Matthew 7, 24 through 27 when Jesus says, if you build your house on the rock, the storms will come, but you will not be shaken. There will be storms this year. Look at somebody and say, there will be storms. But if you're building on the rock, let me tell you, you will not be shaken. You will be unshakable. How many people want to be unshakable this year and moving forward? That's me. I believe that life is going to throw you some different storms. It's going to throw you some curveballs, but God wants to make you unshakable. Today I want to talk to you about unshakable faith. Look at somebody and say, unshakable faith. If you missed any of the messages in this series, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast. But I really believe God wants to say some things, speak some things into our life that will cause us to be unshakable. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, there's a man by the name of Gideon. And he is the opposite of unshakable when he begins his journey. The book of Judges tells us that all of Israel is living in oppression and intimidation by the Midianites. They're in poverty because every time they grow their crops, the Midianites come down and steal their stuff, and whatever they don't steal, they destroy. So after 7 years of this, of being scared, of being intimidated, being in poverty, the nation begins to cry out to God. And can I tell you that good things start with prayer? Good things start with prayer. Look at somebody and say, we need to learn how to pray. There's something powerful about prayer. When you start with prayer, you're going someplace powerful. I don't care where you are in your life. I want to challenge you to pray a little more. I want you to make that a priority this year. You can build your life on prayer. You can get stronger on prayer. You can get closer to God with prayer. If your life is a mess, prayer is a great place to start. Some of you today might be saying, there's some areas of my life that are a mess, that are out of place, that are out of whack, that are out of alignment. Prayer is a great place to start. And Gideon's life was a mess. Yes. His family and their lives were a mess. His nation was a mess. But they started to pray. I want to challenge you. Have a stronger prayer life this year. I was so blessed by the beginning of the year, and we had a week of prayer and fasting and so many great prayers going up, and we're praying in the morning on Zoom, and we had a final prayer that was so powerful. But don't stop there. Let that be a launching place for you. To say, I want something deeper in my prayer life personally. I want to go somewhere. I want to grow somewhere. Prayer has to become a lifestyle. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Or in the New Living Translation, never stop praying. Let prayer be a part of who you are. Do you want to build yourself into someone that's unshakable? Let prayer be an integral part of your life. If you develop a strong prayer life, you will become unshakable. Develop the habit of prayer every day in your life. And the stuff that rocked you before is not going to rock you in 2026. Right. James 5:16. James says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Prayer is where it all starts. Look at somebody and say, prayer is where it starts. So Judges 6:11. It says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. So Gideon is hiding in the wine press, threshing the wheat. He doesn't want the Midianites to see and to come and to steal his stuff. So he's hiding in the wine press, threshing out the wheat. Now let me give you a little background here. If you didn't already read the context clues, a wine press is where you press out the wine. You press the grapes, you get the wine. Wheat is meant to be threshed out in the wind, because when you throw up the wheat after it's been threshed, what's going to happen is there's a separation between the wheat and the straw and the chaff. Those three things get separated in the wind, but it's the wrong place to thresh wheat in the wine press. Now, let me tell you something. If you're living in fear, you're going to do some things backwards. The wine press is not the place to thresh the wheat. If you allow fear to govern your life, things will be out of place. Fear will get stuff all out of sorts in your life when fear is governing. Fear was governing the people of Israel at this time, and fear was governing Gideon's life, so things were out of place. Yeah. Maybe you're looking at your life and saying, there's some stuff out of place. Make sure that fear is not governing your life. Wow. I've seen good people governed by fear and miss God's best. Miss God's blessing because they're being governed by fear. You develop bad habits when fear is governing your life. You'll do things that don't make sense when fear is governing your life. It doesn't make sense if you take a step back and say, look, I don't want wheat in my wine. I don't want wine in my wheat. He was going to get mixed results. Let me tell you something. Most times mixture is not what you want. When fear is governing your life, it will not produce the desired results. When fear is governing your life will not produce the desired result. You're looking at the Word of God and you're saying, man, I want this result. But if fear is governing your life, you're not going to get the desired result. Right. You're saying, why is this Word of God, why is this promise of God not activated in my life? Well, is fear governing your life? Because fear can mess that up. In 2026, I'm not looking for a mixed bag. I'm looking for God's will. Look at somebody saying, I'm not going to let fear govern. I'm not going to let fear govern me. So it starts with prayer. It starts with that acknowledgement that something is out of place. Fear has gotten too large. Are you making decisions based on anxiety or worry, or are you making good decisions because the Holy Spirit is leading you? Be a person of prayer and faith, not a person governed by fear. And can I tell you this too? Not everybody that sounds religious has whipped fear. Some people, they're governed by fear, but they put it in a religious veneer. Well, I just don't feel like doing that yet. No, that's just fear. You know God already told you to do that. You know you're supposed to be doing it. You know you're called to do that. You know you're gifted to do that. Well, I just don't know if this is the right season for me. No, that's fear governing your life. You need to take a step of faith and move on the things that God put in your heart. Don't put a religious veneer on fear. So they prayed for an answer, but they were still governed by fear. Gideon was threshing the wheat in the wine press. Things were out of order in their lives. Then the Lord shows up with a message in Judges 6, 12 through 15. The angel of the Lord appears to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where did all the miracles our ancestor told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength. You have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. Jesus would often say, let those that have ears hear what the Spirit has to say. God is always speaking, but the problem is sometimes we don't have ears to hear what God is saying in the moment. God shows up, he's speaking something to Gideon, but he doesn't have ears to hear. He doesn't have ears to hear. Fear can clog up your hearing. You got to listen to this. This is why fear can't govern your life, because you'll completely miss what God is trying to say, what God is trying to do, what God is trying to get to you, how God is trying to bless you. If fear is governing, it's going to block up your hearing. God was speaking, but Gideon wasn't hearing. He was hearing, surface hearing, but he wasn't hearing what God was saying. The angel says, this is how the miracle is going to happen. When God brings the good news, Gideon doesn't have ears to hear it because his ears are clogged with doubt. And many times God is trying to speak to us, but fear is impeding our hearing. How many times has God tried to get you a message, but fear got in the way? How many times in 2025 was God trying to give you that faith push, that extra ingredient, that extra message, that extra strategy, and maybe you missed it? Let's not do that in 2026. Gideon's response to the angel of the Lord, giving him the word of the Lord, is, you must have the wrong guy. Judges 6:15. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. So here's the doubt speaking. Anybody ever, God started to try to speak to you and doubt started speaking also? That's what's happening here in the story. God was speaking, but doubt was also speaking. If you let it, doubt will talk to you. My clan is the weakest. I'm the weakest of my family. I'm incapable. I'm the least. Gideon had some major self-confidence issues. But here's the good news. If you're struggling with self-confidence issues, you just need to get into the presence of God. I promise you, if you stay in the presence of God long enough, it will change your self-image. It will change your identity. If you stay in the presence of God long enough, he will tell you who you are. I love that about God. I love that about his presence. I love that about spending time with him. The more time I spend with him, the more I understand who I am. Because he's the one that designed me. There's nobody better than to tell me who I am than the Creator. There's nobody better to tell you who you are than your designer. So I spend time with him. I'm in his presence and he tells me who I am. There's power in prayer. There is the power in time spent with God. He will help you sort out the things you are unclear on. Doubts will make things unclear. But time spent with God will make things clear again. Gideon had a bunch of questions. Anybody ever had questions? Some looming questions, some questions you couldn't get out of your head, some things that just keep on coming back because you don't really have a good answer for them. Judges 6:13. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? You ever said that? If the Lord is with us, why has all this stuff happened? Why is these things happening? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. You ever been there? Maybe you felt abandoned, or you felt like God was no longer with you. God, if you're really good, why is this happening? If you really love me, why is this the case? If you're really a loving God, why is there so much pain in the world? Gideon was lost in all the questions. I had a good friend that would tell me, don't get lost in the weeds of why. Don't get lost in the weeds of why. Sometimes we're not able to hear what God is saying because we're lost in all the questions and all the whys. We're not able to internalize what God is saying. We're not able to receive it because our mind is cluttered with so many questions. God is going to answer some of your questions. And some of your questions will remain unanswered. That is the honest truth. Can I say it again? God is going to answer some of your questions. And some of your questions will remain unanswered. That doesn't mean God is not good. That does not mean that God does not love you. That does not mean that God does not care. It just means some things we understand now and other things we understand later. Just because God doesn't answer when you want Him to does not mean God is not good. Right. Don't get lost in the weeds of why. 1 Corinthians 13:9 through 12 says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become outdated, useless, outmoded. So there will be a time that you'll know everything you need to know. But right now we know in part. And we have to be able to rest in that and find God's peace in that. Don't get stuck where you are because you haven't gotten all your questions answered. Some people, they don't get their question answered, so they just pause their faith journey. Ever know anybody like that? They didn't have all the answers, so they said, you know what, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to camp out right here because God hasn't answered all of my questions. Can let me tell you something? I still got some questions. There's nobody in this room that's got all the answers, that has had all your questions answered by God. That's okay. When Abraham left for Canaan, he didn't have all the answers. When Moses went to go save and deliver the people from Egypt, he didn't have all the answers. When Gideon went to go deliver the people of Israel, he did not have all the answers. You don't need all the answers to fulfill your assignment. You just need faith. Unshakable faith. If we can just trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight. I just want to trust in Him. I want to have faith even when it doesn't make sense, even when my questions haven't been all answered. If I can just stand tall and have faith and say, God, make me unshakable. Make me capable to do the things that You called me to do. Don't get stuck where you are because you haven't gotten all your questions answered. It's all right to continue your faith journey when you still have some questions. That doesn't make you less of a Christian. That makes you more of a person of faith. To say, I don't have it all figured out, but I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't understand the full strategy or the full scope, but I'm moving forward in faith. In the word that I do understand that God has given me. I'm going to keep moving even though I might have some questions. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to keep moving even though I might have some questions. Gideon had to move beyond his doubts and beyond his questions to really open up his ears to what God was saying. There was a miracle waiting for him. But he had to get over his doubts and questions. Can I tell you that today? There's a miracle waiting for you, but you have to get over your doubts and your questions. Faith is on the other side of those doubts and questions. Your miracle is on the other side of those doubts and questions. Gideon had to get on the other side of his doubts and questions to experience the miraculous salvation that God wanted to do through him. If you want to be unshakable, you will have to listen. You have to listen. You have to be a good listener, especially to the voice of the Lord. We're building everything off God's word. When he speaks, we have to listen. We have to listen to his written word. We have to listen to his rhema or prophetic word. That fresh word that's coming down to us from God. His word is what we build our lives on so we can be unshakable. So God tells Gideon that he is a mighty warrior. Look at somebody and say, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. Whether you believe it or not, you're a mighty warrior. Judges 6:12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Can I tell you, God is going to tell you some things about yourself that you don't know. When he showed up, Gideon didn't know he was a hero. He didn't know he was mighty. He sure didn't know he was a mighty hero. If you want to become unshakable, God's going to tell you some things about you that you don't even know. Who better to tell you than the designer? What you and I have to do is just do our best to wrap our head around who he says we are. It's not for you and I to question, oh, well, am I really what you say I am? Don't get lost in that. That's what happened in the garden with the snake and the apple. Did God say that? No. When God says something, it's not our job to question it. It's our job to get our head wrapped around, okay, what does that look like? When God, the God of the universe who designed your very life, tells you who you are, you have to take him at his word. God steps in and tells Gideon who he really is. He's in the wine press, acting like a coward, fearful, shaken, rocked by circumstances. And God steps in and tells Gideon he is a mighty hero. God wants to tell you who you are, not what circumstances have led you to believe. That's it. Circumstances will lead you to believe that you're one thing while God is telling you that you're something completely different. Circumstances will lie to you. The enemy will lie to you. Sometimes life will lie to you and tell you that you're something completely different. Life had told Gideon he's a loser. Life had told Gideon that he was the least. That he was unqualified to lead. That his clan were losers. That his people were losers. That they would always be subjugated. That they would always be in poverty. But God had a different identity. Yes. Amen. Circumstances will lead you to believe that you're one thing. And God wants to tell you something completely different. God said to Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. You're a leader. You're fearless. You're a commander of men. I want to tell you that God has to redefine your identity if you want to become unshakable. You cannot be unshakable trying to build on the identity that circumstances have given you. Too many people, God-fearing people, the reason why they're not winning is because they're trying to build their identity on the things that circumstances have told them. You cannot be unshakable trying to build on the identity that circumstances give you. You're going to get rocked over and over and over again. The only identity that will make you remain unshakable is only found in him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. Paul is trying to inform us and educate us that, look, when you come to Christ, you gain a new identity. You start the journey of becoming more like Christ. The old thing is outdated. Now you're becoming something new, a new identity in Christ. And that identity is the one that will make you unshakable. Not the old stuff, not the, oh, well, this is what my family and my grandma did it this way and my grandfather did it this way. No. God's saying you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. Behold, I'm giving you a new identity that will cause you to be unshakable. We have to grab a hold of his identity for us. It's big. It's powerful. It's a new thing. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God has an identity that's big. Look at somebody and say, God has an identity that's big for me. It's big. It was beyond Gideon's imagination. He said, look, it's a big thing. You're a mighty warrior. You're a leader. You're a leader of men. You're a commander of men. You're fearless. It was beyond the scope of what Gideon ever thought about before. But that was who God told him that he was. If you spend time with God, he's going to put your doubts and your fears to rest. He's going to answer some of those lingering questions. And he's going to give you peace for the stuff that he doesn't tell you. This is the type of personal development that causes you to become unshakable. These are the components of an unshakable faith. Time spent with God. Prayer. When you spend enough time with God, the doubts and the fears begin to disappear. When you spend enough time with God, many of your questions are going to be answered and he's going to give you peace. When you spend enough time with him, he's going to show you your identity and your purpose. There's clarity in his presence. This is the type of clarity in life that will make you unshakable. I don't know if you know the end of the story for Gideon, but he becomes a great leader, a great hero. Centuries before Spartan 300, there was Gideon's 300. And Gideon's 300 defeated a much larger army with God's help. He went from a man governed by fear to a man governed by faith in God's word. He led the children of Israel out of oppression and fear and poverty into victory and prosperity. Anybody want to be led into victory and prosperity in 2026? God uses Gideon, a man who started at a fearful place. He used a man who started with low self-esteem. He used a man who lacked clarity. And he transformed him into a man of unshakable faith. A man who could lead others. A man who led his family to a place of blessing and prosperity. That's what God wants to do for you. That's what God wants to do with you and in you. He wants to take us from a place of fear and lack and doubt and questions and bring us to a place of trust and faith and clarity. He wants to make us unshakable. He wants to make your family unshakable. He wants to make this church unshakable. Yeah, that's right. But it starts with having a prayer life. It starts with spending time with him. And out of that time spent with him, doubts are going to fade away. Out of that time spent with him, many of your questions and fears are going to fade away. And you're going to receive his peace and his identity and become unshakable. God has good plans for you this year. Do you believe it? God has good plans. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. God wants to make you unshakable. Make you his unshakable people. that no matter what life throws at you, the devil throws at you, enemies throws at you, you're not going to be rocked. That is his promise to you, that you will be unshakable. So my prayer for you today is that God would give you unshakable faith. No matter where your journey is starting, no matter if you say, well, I've had some fears, some doubts, I've made some mistakes. Let me tell you something. God can take you from where you are to where he wants you to be, a place of power, a place of victory and blessing and unshakable faith. Will you bow your heads? Let me pray with you today. God, I pray that you bless your people today. Father, your word, God, illuminates our mind and lets us see the blessing that you want to give to us. You want to make us unshakable. In a world that is being rocked, in a world that there's storms, in a world that there's uncertainty, God, you want to give us clarity. You want to give us something to build our life on, your word, so that we can become unshakable. And God, stir the desire in our hearts to spend time with you, because you're the only one that can tell us who we truly are. You're the only one that can tell us our purpose, our design. And you're the one that makes doubts and fears fade away. You're the one that answers the questions. You're the one that gives peace. God, you make us unshakable. God, as we go throughout this time, this season, God, let us meditate on your word. Meditate on how you want to make us unshakable. What steps can we take to become unshakable? And as we're praying, as our heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Christ. I feel like I've drifted a little bit in my walk, and I want to reconnect with him. I need to. Before I leave this place, I need to know that I am where I need to be with Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen. There's something so powerful about making a decision and saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really said yes to Jesus. I've been around religious things, or sometimes I've frequented church, but I don't know if I've ever made that decision for me. To say, yes, I have decided to follow Jesus. If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray for you too. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. I love it. This is the greatest decision we can ever make in our life, is to say yes to Jesus. If you lifted your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this with us. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Before I even knew you. Thank you for showing me so much love. Before I even knew you. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my mistakes. I need you. I need you to forgive me. Give me a clean slate today. I want to follow you. I need you to save me. And I need you to lead me. I need your strength to live a life that pleases the Father. Help me do that. Surround me with some people that will encourage me in my faith journey so I can grow and grow and grow and please you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.